Amen. Well, we are finishing a series today. We had started quite a while ago, about 5 weeks ago now. So it is called Chameleon, Fighting the Urge to Fit In. If you haven't been here, this is just a quick overview of what we've talked about. So chameleons are masters of disguise, right? They can blend into any areas. Those of you who have been here this whole time, you're like, this is my fourth week seeing these pictures. I'm sick of this. I'm sorry. There are not that many cool chameleons can only do so many things that you can take photographs of. I'm very sorry. But they blend into their surroundings, right? They blend in. They're incredible. They have this incredible talent to just kind of match their environment, right? And sometimes we strive to that as humans as well, right? We want to blend in, and maybe you've felt that way before. And I've shared different stories each week of times that I've wanted to blend in, and this week is no different. I was in Brazil in 2017. First off, let's just look at the length of that beard and look how brown it was. There was none of this. I don't know if you can see that from here, but there's a lot of gray coming in now. Oh, man, you know, I looked at that yesterday and thought, oh, that was only like 5 or 6 years ago. What happened, right? It all came quick. Anyway, I was in Brazil, and we were there for a group. We were kind of doing some stuff for our district to do some scouting and do like an observation of a ministry they were doing there. And this is all, you know, kind of went to pot with COVID, but it was an awesome thing that we had went there to see it, and we were leaving the place that week, and obviously I don't fit in Brazil, right? And no surprise, but neither do any of you, right? But you want to blend into your surroundings and those sorts of things. You don't want to be noticed or anything like that. Well, I am this giant, you know, with a long beard, and everywhere I went, they Barba, you know, they pointed at that means beard, and so I don't think they knew my name, they just knew me as Beard, but we went around, so we're talking, and this, the guy, one of the translators is warning us about Rio. We were heading from Sao Paulo to Rio for a couple of days, and he was warning us about all the theft and the crime and all the things that happened there, you know, and so I'm, you know, thinking I'm like part of this, you know, thing. I want to blend in and do the right thing. I was like, so I have a camera. What should I, like, should I keep that in a bag? Like, what should I, is it okay to like wear it around my neck or like the side? And he kind of laughs and he goes, oh, no, you'll be fine, like that. He says, they're not going to mess with you. I was probably this much wider and this much taller than everyone, you know. There, he said, oh, no, you're fine. Like he was laughing at the notion that I had been blending in this whole time in my head, you know. But it's, what a time. It was a funny, you know, it's funny to realize that stuff. But we always want to blend in, right? And we'll go to great lengths to blend in or to fit in. And we've all been there. We've all done something silly or thought we are, you know, we're not standing out when we are. And the problem with that as a Christian is the world is full of these patterns that aren't worth fitting into, right? Things like greed, anger, jealousy, materialism, dishonesty, the list goes on and on and on, right? That's why God made us humans and not chameleons, right? He created us to stand out and to be noticed as Christ followers. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So week one, we talked about not conforming, right? That was that's the overarching passage, but that was our passage for week one. We talked about three ways to avoid conforming. So the first one was to confront your conforming. And Jesus met a woman at the well and kind of talked about what she was doing in these worldly patterns she had been following and confronted those, right? We can't transform until we confront our conformity. Number two is that we have to want to get well. And we looked at a story of a paralyzed man who was at a pool that was supposed to give healing, and he'd be doing this forever, and and ever and ever, and he wanted to get well so poorly or so badly that he had gone into this pattern that wasn't working, and even though he had access to Jesus, he was still trying these same old patterns that he had conformed to. And then the third was when the world conforms, the word transforms. And the question is, who are we turning to for healing and in times of adversity? If we turn to the world, we're going to find more patterns that leave us frustrated. If we turn to the word, we'll receive transformation. Week two, we talked about being chosen. You are chosen. So don't conform. You are chosen. We talked about Peter writing to the Christians that were in modern-day Turkey in Asia Minor, and he does three things for his readers. He reminds them. The first thing is he reminds them that you are God's chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. What you're doing, the suffering you're going through matters. Number two, he challenged them to live in such a way that people would understand who Jesus is. And number three, he encouraged them that God is a God of mercy. He said, once you had no mercy, and now you have mercy. God has had mercy on you and given you a new life and a new pattern to follow. And then last week, week three, we talked about you are being God's ambassador. You are God's ambassador. You are representing Jesus wherever you go. So three truths about being an ambassador. The first one is that reconciliation brings revival, right? Revival happens through reconciliation with both God, so us and God, and us and each other, right? People will, or you will bring about revival by the way you are reconciled with one another, by the way we communicate, operate, live in harmony with one another. That will bring a world revival because it's so countercultural. Number two, be willing to speak up. The first kind of out of that was a twofold thing. Our actions should match what we say, right? If we're gonna talk about being a Christian, or we're gonna talk about our faith, our actions better match that, right? We better be reconciled with God and with others. And then the second thing was we need to believe this as truth, right? Not just a routine or not just a thing that we say because we've been in church for 105 years. We believe that it's truth, right? We need to talk about it. And people can tell, right? When we speak about our faith, people can tell if we believe that it's true or not. And then number three was learn to deal with rejection. And that was when we go talk to people, we're afraid of being rejected. It's always awkward, all that stuff. But when we go, we have to remember who's sending you, right? Remember that Jesus is sending you, and remember that there's power in the kingdom that's behind you, right? So that, if you weren't here, gets you caught up, and if you weren't listening, you're also caught up again. So this week, the final kind of bow on top of this series is to imitate Christ, to imitate Christ. Have you ever heard a good imitation before? I'm sure you have, right? Where you're like, oh my word, this person sounds exactly like whoever they're impersonating, right? Or somebody that can make a lot of crazy sounds or sound effects or anything like that. Am I the only one that goes down this YouTube rabbit hole sometimes? Okay, the rest of you, okay, good. We're going to watch a video real quick just because I have to, or I'm going to keep thinking about it. So this is for me, if not for you guys, but hopefully you enjoy. Here's a guy who is, he can imitate most farm animals really, really well. So enjoy.
Voices, and I practice my voice every day. And then.
And how many sounds can you do?
It's around 9, 10, 11, but still busy practicing every day.
Okay, that's really good. Okay. Give us all your sounds.
Meow!
puppy.
Where's that dog one that you did just now?
There's a man who spent some time in a barn, right? Yeah. Goodness sakes. Also, I don't know who, but I love that a couple of people walked in the middle of that. That had to be probably their weirdest entrance into a sanctuary ever. So Oscar Wilde, he's a poet from he was alive from the mid-18s to 1900. He said, "Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery that mediocrity can pay to greatness." Right? It's kind of weird, but obviously that man was not a horse, chicken, you know, rooster, sheep, dog, whatever. Right? So he would be a mediocre any one of those. Right? But it's the highest form of flattery he can pay to these animals that he's been studying, right? Or any other thing, people that we imitate, that kind of stuff. No one can be who they're imitating, but it's the sincerest form of flattery that mediocrity can pay to greatness. And that's really where we're trying to land as Christians, right? As Christians, we're called to imitate Christ. And it's the sincerest form of flattery to something that we will never be, right? We will never be Jesus, but we're called to do our best to be like him. So that's where we're going to be this morning. So the question out of that is then, if we're going to imitate someone, right, who better to imitate than Jesus? Who better to mold and shape our life around than Jesus? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So we imitate Jesus by loving as he loved, right? By walking in love as Christ loved us. So we imitate Jesus by walking in love. Simple enough, right? I mean, truly, that's a pretty simple instruction, right? But the problem is we get in our way most of the time. We get in our own way trying to love like Jesus loves. We distort the love of God into what the world kind of defines as love. And if you put the two next to each other, it's easy to tell, right? But in real time, it kind of gets tough to decipher. But love that we find in the world, right, is romanticized, it's conditional, it's superficial. The list goes on and on. Romanticized heavily, right? I mean, there's so much placed on, you know, love is so based around a romantic sense and now not just who, you know, who am I attracted to or all these things, right? This is love, and that's what's going to be pushed as love. But God's love really doesn't have anything to do with romance. In fact, Paul's kind of like, I mean, if you have to get married, do it, right? But it's not really, you know, it's not really of God's interest. It's just, you know, if that's what you want to do, do it. God's love is intentional, right? It's powerful. It's sacrificial. It really doesn't have anything to do with Valentine's Day or rom-coms or anything like that. God's love is powerful, intentional, sacrificial. So three aspects of God's love for us to imitate. That's where we're going to kind of land this plane that we've been on. Three aspects of God's love for us to imitate. Number one is God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. I'm assuming you've heard this passage or this verse at some point in your life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." There's a reason that this scripture is the most quoted scripture, right? Because it is a neat little statement that is the gospel, right? This is the love of God. He loved us so much that he gave his son, his only son, so that whoever would believe in him would go to heaven for eternity and be with God forever. Does that sound, I mean, yeah, romantic in a different sense, but does that sound like it has anything to do with marriage or flowers or chocolates or anything, right? This is a sacrificial, intentional, powerful love powerful enough to conquer sin and death on our behalf, intentional, right? You would never just willy-nilly send your kid out somewhere and hope for the best, right? Very intentional and very sacrificial, right? And sending a kid knowing that he's going to die on our behalf. So John 3:16, that's that picture of what God's love is. There's a story of a college student. Remember back when we had photographs like that you would hold in your hand? Okay, confession time for just a second. We were going through some old pictures a little while ago, and I'm holding it, and I did that to it. Isn't that the worst? Like, I know better. I'm old enough to know better. I still tried to zoom in on it. Like, good grief, right? It doesn't work like that. There's a story of a college student, a boy, who goes into this photography shop. He wants to get this picture duplicated, right? It's a picture of him and the girl that he's dating. And he wants to, because again, screenshot wasn't a thing. You had to go, you know, to a place that made copies and all that. And they take the photo out of the frame, and on the back, there's a letter, and it says, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I am yours for all eternity, Helen." It's nice, right? Sounds like that is love. But then he looks at the bottom of the photo, and he sees a postscript, and it says, "If we ever break up, I want this photo back." Worldly love comes with attachments, addendums, and revisions, right? Things that we do here, love pushed by the world, it's usually about what makes me feel good, feel comfortable, feel happy. It comes with ways to get out, right? Worldly love changes upon feelings or outcomes or situations or patterns, right? You ever heard, we just fell out of love, right? Well, that wasn't love. You can't fall out of love. I mean, in the eyes of God, you can fall out of romance, right? God's love and commitment never changes. That's the difference. There's no postscript, "If we break up, I want this photo back," right? God's love and commitment never changes. God's love has no attachments. Right? He's offering. That's what John 3:16 says. There's no strings attached. God loves us, and he sent his son. The beauty of this is that we can't earn or unearn God's love. Isn't that awesome? We can't do anything to earn. We will never be good enough, smart enough, wealthy enough, healthy enough, pretty enough, whatever, right? We can't do it. We're not enough to earn the love of God. That is awesome. Aren't you glad for that this morning? It doesn't depend on us, right? Because if it did, I know I would be in a lot of trouble, and I'm guessing you guys would too. To imitate Jesus is to set ourselves aside and love others. It really doesn't have anything to do with romance. It's to set ourselves aside and to love others, because that's what God did for us. For to love as Jesus loved, we're to put aside our wants, our needs, our preferences, our comfort, and we're supposed to serve others. Have you ever felt unconditional love from somebody? I mean, we can say yes from Jesus, but have you ever, really felt that here on earth? Maybe you have, and that's awesome, right? It's a good feeling. Imagine how much more that feeling is multiplied when it's your Creator. So the question out of this first point is, how can we best love others without condition? How can we best love others without condition? Number two, God's love is unconventional. God's love is unconventional. Jesus showed love to the unclean, the unworthy, and the undeserving. Here's a few quick snapshots of stories, right? The woman at the well, she was a Samaritan, but she was unclean by her own culture, right? She's there at noon trying to hide from people because of the stuff she's been doing. Jesus finds a tax collector named Zacchaeus who had been ripping everyone off, right, for years. He was hated. He seeks him out, and he extends grace, mercy, and love to him. We've talked about the man at the pool in Bethsaida, the paralyzed man. This would have been someone who would have been unclean, right? Like the woman in the middle, the woman who had the issue of bleeding, she would have been labeled unclean. These are people that would not be lovable, right? Wouldn't have been deemed worthy of love by their community. The woman that was caught in adultery, getting ready to be killed, and Jesus extends mercy and convicts the Pharisees. Or when they get off of the shore, and there's this possessed man that's crazy and he's cut himself and he's in a bad state, right? And nobody, they've kind of pushed him to live in the cemetery. Nobody's willing to deal with him, and Jesus gets out of the boat and he shows them love and dignity and grace. The love of Jesus steps outside of cultural norms, right? That's tough. The love of Jesus steps outside of cultural norms. Cultural norms are comfortable, right? That's where we're happy. That's where we know what to expect, right? That's where we're safe, is in our norms. The love of Jesus steps outside of that and loves people who otherwise wouldn't be. We cannot imitate Jesus without standing out. That's kind of scary, huh? We can't imitate Jesus and blend in at the same time. It's not possible. I mean, just read any of the Gospels, right? He had a group trying to kill him, and he had a group that was following him. Everyone noticed him. It wasn't I've never heard of this guy, Jesus, or what, you know, what's this? I mean, they knew, right? They knew where he was and what he was doing. We're called to look a little crazy sometimes. That's how what I'm seeing here. We're called to look like crazy people sometimes. And that's okay. I'll reference Pastor Danny. He's not with us this morning because he's back in prison being a crazy person. I'll elaborate. He's doing ministry in a prison in Florida this weekend because he's accepted this call to stand out and be a little crazy. So, second question, how can you more unconventionally imitate the love of Jesus? What can you do in your life that would allow you to maybe stand out a little more, maybe love people a little differently, or love people that you maybe wouldn't have dared or thought about loving before this? Number three, God's love is unbelievable. Unconditional, unconventional, unbelievable. So, God's love produces redemption, reconciliation, and renewal, right? And if you've seen someone who God has gotten a hold of, it's quite a transformation. I mean, it truly is an unbelievable transformation. Some of us, our testimony is we were born in church, we stole the eraser or the cookie or whatever, and that was our big rebellion, right? And then God got a hold of us and changed our life. And others of us maybe came from a worse spot. The transformation's way more visible and unbelievable, right? Same transformation, same heart, same sin, but we can see God's love doing unbelievable work sometimes. In fact, when other religions around the world, when people from other religions convert to Christianity, like 90% of the time, it's because of the love, right? The love of their Creator. Christianity is the only religion where God loves us, right? We don't have to do anything or follow rules to be loved, right? Now, yeah, we'll want to follow God's commandments when he gets a hold of us, but that doesn't change the fact that we're loved or not loved. God has already loved us. So God's love is truly this unbelievable concept. Nowhere in the world will you find this except through our Creator. And we are invited in on this as well. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." That's setting myself aside for others. We are to participate in this sacrificial love. We are called to, right, pick up our cross and follow Jesus. We're called to participate in this sacrificial love. Does that mean that, I mean, you can only, you know, you can only die for somebody once, right? So let's get that out of the way. Maybe, you know, maybe that's where you end up. I hope not, but that is sacrificial love. But we can constantly put our needs and our wants and our preferences aside so that others can be shown Jesus, right? Right. Right? Okay. Still, it's bright. I can't tell if your eyes are open or closed. You have to interact with me at some point. You're fine. Sounds like somebody's eyes were closed. That's okay. Oh, John 13:35, it says, "By this everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another." Right? If you love one another, that's how people will know you follow Jesus. Again, very simple statement, very hard to do. It's hard to set your stuff aside to love others sometimes. It's always, what about me, right? Well, if this works, you'll be getting loved too, right? If we love each other, love one another, people will know that you are a disciple of Jesus. It is impossible to blend in imitating the love of Jesus. That's the point of this whole series. It is impossible to blend in imitating the love of Jesus. People will know, they will figure you out, and thank God we live in a country where that's okay, right? So, who do you know in your life? Who do you specifically know? Don't shout it out. Think about this as you leave, right? Who do you know in your life that needs this kind of love? That needs you to put some stuff aside so you can love them specifically as Jesus would, right? What can you do to love more like Jesus? In a world pushing us to fit in, we're called to stand out. Would you pray with me? God, we just thank you for your sacrificial love for us. God, we know that you have a plan for this world to advance your kingdom, and we're grateful to be a part of that. God, help us to become more like you and less like ourselves. God, help us to push our stuff, our junk, our wants, our needs, our comfort aside, and help us to just chase after you. God, in doing that, we reach people. Help us to love like you have loved us. God, help us to get on board with what you're calling us to be. And help us to do it so that we stand out as unmistakably your disciple. That we wouldn't just fit in or blend into our surroundings, but that we would be unmistakably a disciple of Jesus Christ. God, we need your help to do that. And so this morning, as we go, as we leave this place, help us to take a really good imitation of your love with us. God, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. Help us to glorify you with our lives. It's in your name we pray.